Waiting for Pastor Sam. Where's Pastor Sam at? Is he around here somewhere? Oh. Well, we're live, right? Oh, we're live. Well, I want to welcome all those around the world that are logging on. This is our Wednesday night service, which is usually questions and answers. And there are a couple of questions that have come in. But those that are here, I'm going to ask if they have a quick question. If not, then I'll get moving with some of the other questions I have. Anybody have a question in here? As far as anything for tonight? Wanted to know, blah, 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 blah. All right. Well, one of the things is I don't know how to word the question, but it had something to do about life and how to deal with life. And, you know, you have the power to bring forth life. And it's really all based on choice. And, you know, in Scripture, there's one verse that says, choose this day who you're going to serve. And so we have a choice. And I want to hope that I can elaborate on how much power we carry in ourselves in order to affect the day that we have. And you can start off in the very beginning. Has anyone ever like rolled out of bed and just felt as though that they're having a bad day already? What do you think is influencing us in that particular moment? You see, for us to be able to have awareness is probably one of the greatest gifts any of us could actually ever have. Just to be aware of what is actually happening throughout our daily lives. And if we can associate ourselves with awareness and be able to affiliate it with choice, we can actually change our day and have a good day. And what I'm trying to say here is our attitude of anger or happiness. How many of us had a tendency to be angry? Not by choice, though. We just tend to feel angry for some reason. Maybe circumstances made us angry, situations made us angry. And this is probably the biggest battle that we have to defeat is anger and being upset. One of the things that I remember back in the day when my life was transformed, I was still working and I never realized this, but I was entertaining an angel, but he was in human form. He came as a black African laborer that worked for a township. When in reality, he never worked for the township, and he never even existed. I found out later that. But I was dumping a load of dirt, and I was upset, like I was having a bad day. I was annoyed. And I'm dumping this load of dirt, and he jumps in the truck with me and told me to back down this long field. How many have heard this story before? Yeah, okay. And I'm backing down this real long field, and there's literally nothing around us. It's a huge open field. And I'm finally backing down, and he says, stop right here. And it was in the middle of the trail, but it was at least a quarter of a mile away from any building. And he says, you can dump right here. And your next load, you know, all your loads of dirt, you can dump right here. So I'm backing up, and he's like, you seem troubled, brother. What's wrong with you? I said, oh, I'm just having a bad day. And he's like, what do you mean you're having a bad day? I'm annoyed. I don't know. It just seems like nothing's going right. And I remember this as if it was yesterday. And this fella said, well, this angel said to me, looked over to me and says, brother, don't ever let the devil steal your joy. Just like that. And I'm like, okay, you're right. You know, I shouldn't let him steal my joy. And I'm dumping, I'm looking in the back, and he gets out, and I'm dumping the dirt, and I'm looking back behind, and I turn around, and I'm looking for him, and he's gone. And I took that, and I said to myself, oh my God, look at this. And it stuck with me. It stuck with me ever since that day. Don't let the devil steal your joy. We have so much power. We don't realize it. When we have days that are bothering us and days that we get upset, we need to be able to fight and war against these emotions, these feelings, and not let ourselves have bad days. Has anyone ever had bad days? Well, let's be real. We should have every hand up going, ooh, me, every day I'm having a bad day. Well, it literally is. There is a power of darkness that is out there trying to steal your day. And when we can rejoice, because the scriptures, the Bible, that book that I always hold up, that I love so much, bears witness of what was given to me. It says, rejoice in all things. Again, I say. That's really interesting when it says, again, I say.
He said it was in jail.
He said it was in
jail.
Who was that? Paul? Yeah, Paul. Paul?
Yeah.
So Paul's in jail and he speaks this message, rejoice in all things. Again, I say, rejoice. And when someone has to repeat something like within seconds after he said it, that makes you want to listen. You might want to really listen. Again, I say, as soon as he just got done saying, rejoice in all things. Again, I say, rejoice. So I started to really think about and ponder about that. And we have a choice. We have a choice in our own self, the power in our own self, that when we can turn things around and look at the bright side or the good side of things and just start rejoicing in all things, we begin to reverse the powers of darkness and destroy the powers of darkness. What tends to happen is we fall short of His glory. We come into a place of ignorance. Look, I do it a lot. Sometimes I just seem to get frustrated and I don't catch myself. I tend to just like entertain it. And I'm like, why am I entertaining this annoyance, this place of being upset, whether I'm right or wrong or it doesn't matter? You know, why are we getting caught up in these areas of frustration and stealing our joy? Can anyone answer that one for me? Why? The darkness is masking our awareness that time. And we're just basically allowing it to over empower us and weaken us. And it steals our joy. So if it's stealing our joy, then if we can reverse that and begin to rejoice in all things, it must be doing something, wouldn't you think? It must be empowering us, and it must be changing the atmosphere and changing the circumstances. I look at this, as we inhabit misery, misery seems to draw company. And when we inhabit this misery, it seems to escalate. And all of a sudden, something else goes wrong. And something else goes wrong. And something else goes wrong. And we never get out of our misery. We always seem to be bound up with depression or being upset. Do you grab hold of what I'm saying? You see where I'm coming from? Does anyone understand what I'm saying? Because we can never break through of just being happy. I want to see myself in my own place of life constantly bubbling over, constantly laughing, constantly just having a big smile. Yeah, like my girls, right? Yes, what are you constantly laughing about? Well, they defeated that place of misery. But if we can constantly just break through this realm of darkness and rejoice, I believe it's going to change your future. I believe our heart has a power to manifest a substance called faith. What a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And if we can break the patterns of our heart always being negative or pessimistic, well, is pessimistic negative or? Okay. And if we can break that pattern in our heart of being negative and pessimistic, then we don't create the future of disaster. I myself want a future of prosperity. I myself want a future of peace and tranquility. I want an easy place in my life. If we in our hearts are creating a sense of misery and a place where it seems to be never working out, always failing somehow or another, then we're creating our future. We're creating our destiny. We're not getting a breakthrough, we're getting disaster. We're empowering darkness to literally destroy our life, because what a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? And so I think this is why, you know, Paul was saying, rejoice in all things. Again, I say rejoice. When that man said to me, brother, don't let the devil steal your joy, I looked at that and it was profound. I never really realized how darkness can take away my happiness. Even though you might be having a bad day, even though that you might think things are not going right, we also have to realize that he turns all things around for the good to those who love him. And so we need to renew our hearts and renew our minds in a place of a blissful, tranquility type setting so that we can look at everything's going to be okay. This is what actually started my disposition. And some people know me. Those that don't, I have a phrase. And a lot of times when things are happening and I'm in the midst of it, I don't express any type of an emotion. I just simply say, interesting. Pastor Sam knows that. That's like my middle name, isn't it? Interesting. I just tend to look at it and just go, interesting. You know, this is really interesting. Like, what's happening here? What's going on? This is interesting. And I try to look into it, and I don't try to react in a place of being upset. I try to maintain a keel level inside my heart, inside my spirit. I want to keep my body level. I don't want to upset the apple cart, so to say. You know, your body, yes, has a sense of, I don't know how to say it. You can disturb yourself and cause yourself to be unbalanced. And it even was proven in hospitals and the medical field, where they would bring in clowns to cheer up the children and stuff, you know, and, you know, make them rejoice and take them out of their misery and pull them out of that place of being upset. And, you know, this is where we need to begin to work out our own salvation. I truly believe we have a lot of control over ourselves, but we lose self-control and we don't know how to control ourselves, so we let our emotions run wild. If we can rein in our emotions and stop becoming so unstable, yeah, like a reactor, I believe we can really come to a very stable place, not only in our heart and in our body, but in life in itself in general. I believe things will run a lot smoother. And let's say they don't. And I look at my life as things do run smooth for some reason. I work in areas in my life and they seem to just go together very well. We had a testimony not too long where others would, I think, if they attempted something like that, it would have been a disaster. Some say it's skills. I give it all to the glory of God as far as maintaining a peace, maintaining a cool realm in your heart that, you know, you're slow to react and you just look at things in a peaceful manner and you're just calm and, you know, you just tend to, your mind thinks clearer and you tend to be able to handle a situation. So maybe things don't really fall into play like you would think, but you were able to handle things in a much pleasant way, if that makes any sense. How many of us here alone just seem like their life is a little on a shaky side, a little on a shamble, a little like unbalanced? Well, I think we can change our destiny by bringing ourselves in balance and begin to rejoice and not let our heart be troubled. And it does not say in the scriptures, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, there are certain key points in scripture that brings us to a place of salvation, that brings us to a place that our future becomes blessed. And I want a blessed future. How many of us want a blessed future? I always, in my heart, live whole. And what I mean by living whole, that everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. I never let my heart be troubled in the sense that it's going to be a disaster. Even though that there may be storms all around me, everything's going to be okay. How many of us tend to have a troubled heart and become very nervous about certain situations, whether it's their health, job, finances, future? How about friends, you know? Upset because they may think that they don't have any friends or they're all alone or what have you. Look at the areas of what brings our hearts to be troubled. And to be honest with you, they're all imaginations. And the scriptures do say, cast down these imaginations that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. And if God is for us, who could be against us? So there's a lot of key verses that battle against these imaginations and these lies that we create within ourselves. I know that there are certain areas in my life that I would say, look, there's a fact. This is a fact. You know, I walked outside and I got a flat tire. It's a fact. And then I automatically are starting to create all these imaginations. Like, it's going to be all day before I get this fixed. And, oh, I don't have the money to do it. And, oh, this and that. And you're just going on and on and on and on and on with all these imaginations. When we just deal with it and rejoice and watch the miracles, because there might be somebody that's just like, as soon as you get the last lug nut off the flat, you know, and you pull the tire off, there's a guy standing there saying, hey, let me, I happen to have a tire for you or something. We don't know the future. And I believe if we change the way our heart is and manifest and rejoice in all things, I believe that God works on our behalf supernaturally. and he makes things work out and everything's going to be okay. I believe when we allow the devil, let's say, darkness, steal our joy, I believe it works the opposite. I believe we just start feeding darkness and God doesn't intervene. He kind of backs off. I know this for a fact. Humility and a broken, contrite heart is what touches God's ears. When you're miserable and you're upset and you're frustrated, it literally is all about you. And somehow or another, your pride is manifesting. You might not know it, you might not see it, but pride is manifesting itself. And God resists the proud. Because think about it. Who are you to get upset? Like, who are you to be miserable and upset? You should be grateful. You should be grateful that you have five fingers on your hand, sound mind. You should be grateful that you're alive, in a sense. Be grateful for the things that you can't see. Think about it. Think about it. Have we really ever thought about this? When we're not grateful, we're selfish. And it is a form of pride. And God resists the proud. And when we manifest this form of pride, God's not there. He's not intervening. He's not working on our behalf. He's almost saying, listen, if you're going to put yourself on some type of pedestal thinking that you're all this and a bag of chips. This was one of the big sayings that I used to get. You think you're all this and a bag of chips. And you're going to get up frustrated and miserable. It's almost like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? It could be worse. My grace is sufficient. It was like when Paul had the thorn in his side, you know, and he's crying out, oh God, help me with my miserable day. Oh God, please help me with my miserable, rotten, horrible, what's that show? No good, what? Very bad day. And pull this thorn out of my side. And what did God's response was to him? That's right. Yeah. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Basically, he was saying, Paul, who do you think you are? You put yourself up on this pedestal that you can't get pricked with a little thorn over here. Yeah. You should be rejoicing in all things. Again, I say, you don't realize it. You might be looking at it as facts. You might even look at it as false humility. But you don't understand, Do you know how much we complain? We are constantly complaining in our hearts. And God says, my children suffer because of lack of knowledge. You know, and this knowledge is very, very important, because how often are we observing and looking at our manifestations when we are miserable, when we're complaining, when we are putting ourselves in a situation of not being grateful? Think about it. I guarantee you probably, and I'm gonna blame everybody in this room and everybody that's listening. I'm gonna blame you that you are probably miserable and complaining about at least 10 to 15 things throughout the day. Think about just today. Just think about today. What didn't go right your way? What did you tend to complain or murmur about? What'd you whine about? What'd you tend to, I want to say, bitch or complain?
I call you.
I call you. I'm your shoulder to cry on. I'm your comforter. I don't mind being your comforter. Call me. I'll bring joy to you. I'll let you see the light. I believe the Lord is trying to tell us, you know, look, I love you so much, and I want to change your future. But there's a law in heaven that I can't go against. There's a law in heaven. How many people understand heaven laws? I should preach a message on this because it is so true. You can't go against heaven laws. It's like the law of gravity. I was sharing that earlier today, but a different subject. It's like the law of gravity. You drop an apple, okay, it's going to hit the floor. You drop a ball, it's going to hit the floor. You pick something up and you drop it, it's going to hit the ground. It's a law. You can't change the law. You can through supernatural realms, but then the natural realm, you can't change the law. Well, that's the same thing as heaven. And there's laws in heaven that you cannot change. You cannot change it. As much as you want to cry out, oh, Lord, help. He resists pride. He resists false humility. He resists. He allows darkness to attack you. So if your heart is troubled and you're constantly not rejoicing in all things, I mean, listen, I'm not going to say it isn't hard. I'm not going to say what I'm speaking here tonight isn't hard. It's sometimes impossible when you're having bad days. It's impossible when things aren't going right. It's impossible when you look at your circumstances and, you know, you got all this weight on your shoulders and you don't have the strength to lift it up. It's impossible. I understand. If anybody understands, it's me. But if you want your situations to change, we got to abide by the laws so that these situations will change. And, you know, it has a lot to do with renewing the way we're thinking. And if we're to rejoice in all things, and again, I say rejoice, and it says, don't let your heart be troubled, and we got to work out our own salvation, and cast down your imaginations, and exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and he turns all things around for the good to those who love them. I mean, we got to grab all this and put it to play. There's a reason why we're instructed to live a certain way, and God is trying to bless us. He's trying to heal us and deliver us and restore us and create a better future for us. But what are we doing to ourselves? We have a free will. What are we doing? We need to start standing strong. We need to start taking authority over our life. We need to begin to call things into existence that don't exist. We need to believe what we're saying. If you want something, why be negative about it? Oh, it'll never happen. You don't understand. Things have to change. Things have to change. And what we need to do is establish a life inside of us and start changing from the within side first so that our outside can change. The outside. I believe in my heart that my life is going to change dramatically and fast. It's going to happen quickly. And I believe it because for some reason, I believe it. I can't predict the future, but I have an unction. I have an inspiration. I have a feeling. How did I get this feeling? Despite everything that's going on around me, you look at the natural and it's obvious. But But I have this feeling. You know why? Because I don't want to believe those lies. Who are you? You have to ask yourself, who are you? Do you look at yourself better than what you are looking at yourself? Think about it. I know who I am. I want to get you stirred up and a little jealous. I'm a child of God. Can you say that in your heart? You have an anointing on your life. Manifest it. You have something special. Manifest it. I know who I am. I refuse to let the devil steal my joy. I refuse to let the devil steal my future. I refuse to let the devil steal whatever is happening in my life. I refuse. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to complain about anything. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look at my situation, and when I see it on the negative side, I'm going to start calling it a liar. I'm going to be like, no, this is not true. This is not happening. It's just a matter of time. Everything's going to be okay. I just have to, you know, this is where I'm at. According to my heart, this is where I'm at. How many people caught that one? We have to accept, according to our heart, our circumstances are what they are, according to what we created in our heart. What a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You're at your place in life because you created it within your own self. It could have started out as a little leaven. But we entertain that leaven. And when we entertain it and entertain it and entertain it, what happens? It gets worse. It gets bigger. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I look at some individuals, and you know what? If they had this knowledge, they probably could have stopped their circumstances when it was this big. You could have had a blimp in your life, a little bleep, bloop. But you entertained it. Now you're going to say, nah, Jim, you're a liar. That's not, I just stepped in dog doo. I'm just having a, you know, that's the deck of cards that I got. You don't understand. I do understand. I know. I didn't realize growing up, throughout my life, God was with me before I even knew him. And in my own heart, being alone, I was alone. I literally was alone. I had nobody. You know, I became self-employed, and that became my relationship. And I didn't have relationships other than my employees, I guess. If I didn't have my employees, I didn't have any friends because I just lived my career or my job or my whatever you want to call it. And I wouldn't believe the negatives. I just couldn't comprehend it. Everything was possible to me. Nothing was impossible. I just would not believe it. When I saw things that cost X amount of dollars and I only had so much in my account, I didn't believe it. I just believed that this is what I needed, and I just went and did it. How many people understand what I'm saying? You know, they would say, oh, that's a foolish way of living because you really should, like, balance things out and, like, save up for it before you did it, and put yourself in debt is no good. Because I knew that if I just kept on working, I'd work it off and pay it off and everything. And to this day, I have fruits of it. I have stuff that's all paid off, which I'm very grateful for because I can use them for today. But I just never in my heart believed anything negative. And I guess you can say that that's a blessing and being fortunate. I just never received, like I would wake up sick as a dog and just say, you know what, I'm not sick. It's a little sniffle, I'll be all right. And I got out there and I did what I had to do. And before I know it, by the end of the day, the cold was gone. Whatever it was, the pain, the discomfort. Many of you might have known, I think when I was younger, I broke both my wrists riding a four-wheeler. I hit a ditch and they both bent back and I think I broke them. They were in such pain, I didn't even want to look down because I just had images of my bones popping out of my wrists and my hands just hanging. How many people can see that one? Ugh. And I was like, ah! For the longest time, I just would not look down. And finally, I had enough nerve to look down. And I saw that my hand was still like there. Oh my God, it hurt for years. And it still hurts. But there are days where I just overcome the pain. And it's not there because I just don't want to believe the pain. I just don't want to believe it. And then the pain's gone. And then sometimes the pain comes back and it's like, oh my God, my arms, I overworked them today because they hurt really bad. You know, and then next thing you know, I just say, you know what, everything's going to be all right. I don't want to believe the pain. And then the pain's gone. How many people understand what I'm trying to say here tonight? I think we have to change the way we're thinking and create in our heart, our future, by rejoicing in all things. By rejoicing in all things, it shows God humility and a broken, contrite heart. Because I'm going to tell you right now, in the natural, it is so hard to rejoice in your pain. In the natural, when things aren't going right, and you're looking at what you have, and it's not where you want to be, it's hard. Every imagination, every negative imagination starts attacking you, and all these negative thoughts start coming into your mind, and it's so hard to overcome. I know. But we have a free will, and if we can show the love of God in our free will, and turn around and begin to rejoice in all things, we're showing to our Creator humility and a broken, contrite heart. And that's when He comes and listens. That's when He comes and saves us. That's when He comes and delivers us. It's almost like, well done, my faithful servant. You know, well done, my faithful son. Daughter, you have lined up with my laws in heaven. You went against the natural laws and you submitted to the spiritual laws of my love. And you humbled yourself and began to rejoice because I'm the one that gives and I'm the one that takes away. And cast down the form of pride. Cast down that sense of, you know, crying about this thorn in our side. God is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. Who do you think? Where were you? Did you put the ring around Leviathan's nose? Did you put the stars in heaven? Did you do these great and mighty things? Who are you? I want you to know I'm speaking to myself tonight. And I hope and pray that all of us are hearing what God is speaking in my own life. I've been crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want to walk in your glory. If you called me to serve you and speak your word, I want to walk in your glory to where the shadows of Peter healed the sick. I want it in my life. I want to be able to walk in the atmosphere of a room and watch people being healed, delivered, and set free so that I can just show them the glory of God. My heart breaks when I see someone suffering. when I see someone in a sense that they don't even deserve it, done nothing wrong. It's not from your parents' sin or your sin or anybody else's sin. And you have to say to yourself, why? Why? And I believe God wants us all whole. You know, he said back in 2000 years ago, Jesus himself had a relationship with the Father, and he healed all who were sick. I believe there was a glory that he knew, and I believe that glory is for today. We know this glory. We know this glory. And there are laws in heaven that we need to line up with. We need them. And when I began to speak to the Lord about this realm, he began to speak to me about what I'm saying tonight. Who are you? I want to give you this glory. But who are you? And I said, Lord, you'll never hear me complain about the thorn in my side ever again. I'm going to rejoice. You know, I have a lot of issues. I'm not going to fool anyone. There's a lot of things that annoy the hell out of me. I just think they aren't right. They're just not right. And I feel as though that I have every reason to bitch and complain about it. Because it's just not right. How many of us feel that way? Throw it out the window. Forget about it. Work out your own salvation. If you're like me, stop bitching. You're not going to be able to change the circumstances. You just do what's right. Don't worry about these annoyances in your life. They're there. They're going to face us every day. I truly believe it's a weapon the enemy uses to come against you. Because everywhere you turn, you're going to see injustice. Everywhere you turn, you're going to find something and you're going to see something that annoys the hell out of you. You can't change it. We need to not look at it. We need to ignore it. We got to constantly look at ourselves and pull ourselves into salvation. And don't let the enemy rob our joy. Don't let him steal our joy so that our hearts can be established. And what a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And this is so true. I want our hearts to change so that our future changes. The way our hearts are right now, our future isn't going to change. And if it does change, I guarantee it's going to go to the negative side. Because who is really casting down these arguments in their heart? Who's really stopping the misery? Who's really stopping the complaining? Who's really stopping the murmuring? Now, I'm not talking about an outward appearance because we can sure put on the fake smiles. I'm sure we can sit there and be quiet and ignore what's going on. But in our heart, what are we doing? In our heart, what are we saying? In our hearts, what kind of judgment are we throwing out there? We need to stop. We need to come into this unconditional love. And I look at it as just ignoring those annoyances. They annoy you, just ignore it. Say what I've been trying to impute in my own self. Interesting. It puts a form of no judgment. And it works for me. And I want it to go everly increasing. I want to pass the mic over. Sam wants to close us tonight. And Tim, if you would like to share anything. I think the world is dying to hear from you guys. I know that we might have ran a little over on our, but we got till 8:30. We got a couple minutes. So I'm going to pass the mic over to Sam. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. I hope a lot of you has got hold of what I want you to grow with me. I want you to come up with me. I want God to do great miracles in your life. I want Him to fill your desires and your heart and your wishes. He just can't, because we're manifesting something else. Cast down the imaginations and the manifestations and we'll get it.
Amen.
If we're looking on the outside, if we're blaming anything, people, places, things, our children, our spouses, our jobs, if we're blaming anything on the outside and we're losing our peace from that, if we're looking at the outside and losing our peace from that, that's where we're wrong. We have to focus always on ourselves. You can't control anything out there. That's the problem. You're trying to control out there. This is the whole entire problem. You're trying to control what you can't control. That brings frustration every single time. This is the whole battle. 99.99% of the battle is you're trying to control what you can't control. Can't control your spouse, can't control your children, can't control anything. You can't control anything but you. That's the whole job you have. That's all you gotta do. See, we have a job to do. We have a job. He says, labor to be in my rest. Work. We're not willing to work. See, the cop-out is, it's their fault. The cop-out is, it's his fault. The cop-out is, it's this guy in front of me's fault. The cop-out is, it's my job, my kid, it's this. That's the cop-out. That's a weak-minded person. That's what weak does. People who are defeated. People who have no peace and no joy. That's what they do. They blame everything but themselves. If we're not willing to focus on ourselves, see, you have a choice. Choose to look out there or choose to look at you. Choose to fix the whole world, which you can't do, or choose to fix you, which you can do. He says, labor to be in my rest. And when you're in his rest, he does everything for you. When you're in his rest, your kid starts acting better. When you're in his rest, your husband starts acting different. When you're in his rest, the traffic opens up. When you're in his rest, the job finally comes. When you're in his rest, he does everything supernaturally. When you keep trying to control it and fix it and control it and fix it and try to control everybody in your life, including everybody in your life, you're done. It's over. You're never going to be able to do it. You can't put another dime in your pocket. You can't put one more dollar in your pocket. You can't do it. You cannot do it. God hardens every heart and softens every heart. He hardens every heart to say yes or no for you. He hardens your child's heart to be bad that day. He hardens your husband's heart to be evil that day. He hardens everybody's heart around you. He'll harden a dog's heart. He'll have you have a bad day because of you. You're not looking at yourself. We're not looking to be humble. We're not looking to learn a lesson. We're not looking to say, God, I keep saying, make me like you. Make me like you. Make me like you. But don't make me like you. I'm only kidding around. When it starts hurting, stop. You know, only just make me like you when it comes to blessings. Not changing me. Not fixing my messed up mind. Because our minds are a mess. They really are. He says, labor to be in my rest. So what's that labor to do? What is that labor? I'll make it real simple. Listen to the messages. I don't know how hard I can make it. I can't make it any easier for you. This is not brain surgery. You go to the thing and you push play. You go P-L-A-Y, bang. And in 10 minutes, you're going to see what your problem is. Because this man, God's given him a gift. And this man's gift is to take the gospel, the truth of God, and make it understandable to us. See, what he's done is taken the principles of God and made them so you understand. So these messages are going to tell you exactly why you're going through what you're going through. They're going to tell you why you're thinking the way you're thinking. They're going to tell you how to get out of it. Every time there's a word of God, it comes with an instruction. It comes with a thing to do. It comes, okay, your blessing's coming, but you have to do this. Every Old Testament prophet was told, yeah, you can do this, but first go do this. Yo, okay, you know what? test me, do this. It's always something for you to do. It's always for you to humble yourself in some way. It's always for you to lay your life down. It's always for you to look at yourself and find out where the problem is. You're never going to find it blaming the world. You're never going to find it saying, woe is me. Nobody knows my troubles. Nobody knows what I go. Oh, shut up. You don't know anything about anything. I don't have to know. It's called mercy. When you have mercy, you can look at someone and know what they go through because you have mercy. I don't have to put your shoes on. I have mercy. I can see your life and see what you're going through and know exactly the pain you're going through by looking because you have mercy. It's a gift when you stop being selfish, when it stops being all about you. See, God wants to deliver us. And let me ask a question. When the devil took Jesus up on the mountain to tempt him after his 40-day fast, how did he do it? How did Jesus fight back? With truth. How do we fight back? Only one way. It's through truth. So if we listen to these messages over and over and over and over and get them in you and have a foundation built, the truth is going to be there for you every single time. You don't have to run to the message anymore. It's going to be part of your life. The more you listen to these messages, the more they could become part of your life, the more they become part of you. The more truth you have as your foundation, the more weapons you have to fight. If you don't have truth, you have no weapons. And you'll be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. The smallest little thing comes on you and it's the end of the world. A bill comes. A $200 bill comes. Oh, I can't pay it. My life's going to end. It's over. It's a catastrophe. Instead of just, like Pastor said, I see a bill and it's like, it doesn't even exist. I lived with him. I was there with him at the time. He was spending like crazy. And I know where the money was, but he always paid his bills. He always had money. His account always stayed the same. He goes, look, he would do it and show me. He would test it and show me. He would say, brother, I just spent $6,000. I had $6,000, and I still have $6,000 in my account. Look. He would show me the account. I'd be like, how is that possible? Because he's at rest. Because he's at rest. God says, labor to be in my rest. We're not willing to labor. We don't want to labor. We'd rather just take the easy way out and blame the world, blame our kids, blame our spouse, blame everybody. We don't want to labor. And the labor is simply put a message on. I listened to two messages today. I promise you, two today I listened to, two. And the both of them I needed. Both of them I needed. They brought me to another place. They brought me to a place of truth and took me out of the world that I was involved in. You can't play in the world. The world will beat you up and kill you. We are not part of this world. We don't belong in it. We don't belong playing in it. We don't belong in it. And the people of the world want to drag you in and get you. We don't belong in it. It'll destroy us. You know, he went and did a job the other day, and all he wanted to do was get back to this place. All he wanted to do was get back here to the presence of God. Because out there in the world, when you're in the presence of God, when you listen to the messages over and over and you listen to them over and over, something happens. You start developing a secret place between you and God where you know that if you just run and get alone with God, you can get that peace again, that joy again, that presence of God again every single time. And the man went out for one day and his whole heart was, I just want to get this over with so I can get back to God. I just want to get this over so I can get back to God because I don't want to be in this world anymore. It's disgusting. It hurts. The world will beat you up, will chew you up and spit you out. People of the world are not nice. They have an agenda. It's to use you, chew you up, and spit you out. That's what they want to do. They don't even control themselves. They have no control. It's not them. It's selfishness. It's lust. That's what the world offers. We're not part of it. We have one job. Labor. Get into the messages. Get this truth in you. You have to have weapons to fight. You have to have weapons to fight. You have to be able to battle the lies with truth. What causes us to lose our peace? Lies. What brings peace back to us? Truth. It's so simple. If I can do it, you can do it. Ask Tim. I didn't get good grades in college. I barely made it by the skin of my teeth. I never went to class. I didn't care. Every day I'd be like, Tim, where are you going? Class. For what? Are you an idiot? We're in college, Sam. Am I right or wrong? every day. If I can do it, you can do it. I was a mess. I had no peace. Everything in the world made me angry. Tim will tell you, he was my best friend growing up my whole life. Everything in the world made me angry. I was fighting everybody. And God got me. Gave me a little bit of truth. And I cried like a baby. Because God loved me. He loved me. And he showed me how much he loved me. He came into my life and took over. And said, now you're mine. Let me show you my love. Let me show you what I can do. Let me show you peace and joy and happiness. Let me show you. Labor to be in his rest. Get into the messages. If we're not willing to do it, then you're going to suffer. And what can I do for you? Sorry. I'm real sorry for you. I'm really not sorry for you. You're not willing to labor. You just want to cry and bitch and moan and complain. That's all you want to do. You can do it all you want. Don't do it to me. I got the answer for you. It's called labor to be in his rest. It's called getting to the messages over and over and over. And I guarantee you, they're going to tell you exactly why you're going through what you're going through and exactly why you're thinking the way you're thinking. That's all you want to know is why. You want to know why? Listen to the messages. You'll find out why. Why are you going through what you're going through? Listen to the messages. You'll find out why. And you'll even find out how to come out of it. It's going to take a little labor on your part. It'll take a little bit of effort on your part. So the question is, are you willing to do it? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what God's saying. We're all weary and heavy laden. Who's not weary and heavy laden? There's a rest for the people of God who've ceased from their works so that God can now do his work in your life. Because God creates, we destroy. He creates. And life more abundantly. Amen. Listen, Sunday service, guys, please come out. I can't tell you how important it is to get here. Missing the messages online is excellent, but I mean, you're here, there's a presence in this place. Let Pastor get his hands on you. Something happens when he touches you, something happens when he speaks to you. God himself will speak to you through Pastor. It's a miracle. It's amazing. He'll say things that no one else knows to show you that's really God. You're going to see. Just come out. Try one time. You'll never be the same. You walk through those doors, you'll never be the same. I guarantee it. Never. Never. Sunday services start at 10 o'clock. We have worship. 11 o'clock is the message. And Wednesday nights, guys, you want to come out. It's a great week. It's a great midweek service. 7:30 we start. And the website is glorytothenations.org. So keep logging on, guys. All right, have a great week.